I'm not sure Brother Simon has already know what I was going to speak about this morning. So when he talked about trust, it's exactly what we are speaking today. So Holy Spirit knows where we are, and he knows who our heart, and he knows what we need of him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And thank you. Thank you for the word and encouragement. Yeah, this morning we are going to share trust in the Lord. Or we may say trusting in the Lord. Because sometimes it could be a command that the Lord wants us to trust in him. And sometimes it's a learning process. Because trust is a big word. And in our daily life, we all learn to trust him. And trust him in many ways. Trust him in a big way, and maybe in the little ways. Maybe in the way we say things to people. And maybe in the way that we relate with people. Or the way we behave. Trust. Trust could be a little things. In the word, in the Bible, he says, trust in the little and he will give us more. And when we are faithful in the little things, and he will give us abundant, more things to be trusted. So this morning, this portion of scripture that I think most of us are so familiar with, Proverbs 3, 5 through 8. Let's read it together, why don't we? Let's read it together. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. And back up a little bit, sorry. And in another version, it says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. That's a New King James Version. And he will make your path straight. A New King James Version says, he will direct your path. And do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil, or depart from evil. This will bring health. Or this will be health to your body or flesh, and nourishment or strength to your bones. Amen? Good word, good word. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for this morning and wonderful refresh for our spirit. We thank you for your wonderful word of encouragement to us for today. And revive us and transform our life today. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So trust. You know, trust could be a different things when we face the worldly system. So when we receive emails or some unknown text, probably we need to be cautious not to trust everything that sent it to our phone or our email, right? Do you agree? Especially these days, a lot of emails and just come in our ways and saying, click here and click here. You know, click here, it's just a click away, right? But for the people out there, we don't know what's happening about them. They probably want to catch us right here, and right click that he wants to catch us. Here's some example of a phony phone calls. You might not want to respond too much. Here we go. It's your bank calling. Can you help me with an investigation? This is, by the way, from a bank warning for us. So I'm just throw out some example, not specifically wants to talk about any cases. But you probably already heard some of this. And the bank give us suggesting that neither your bank or law enforcement will ever ask you to withdraw or send money as part of an investigation. Never, never do that. Another phone call like this, and then you receive this phone call. You probably will not pick up the phone call if the number doesn't sound familiar, right? Right? Oh, you just pick up every phone call because you think everybody will call you, so you pick up every phone call. Anyway, so another phone call calling you, and then when you receive the phone call, it says, "It's Eric. Eric, calling from your bank, and we are having a system outage. Can I help process transaction for you?" Does that sound good? No? Good answer. Never give your PINs or password or one-time verification codes to someone on the phone. I mean, this is kind of common knowledge. You know, sometimes just give us some suggestion, right? Warning. And some email like this. "It's me, you and so-and-so. Are you at your desk? I need a wire transfer sent. Don't tell anyone it's a secret." Don't tell anyone it's a secret. Sometimes we hear somebody say it's a secret. Don't tell anyone. We feel, oh, it's a personal. It's just only for me. I better do something about it. But it's not for you. It's not good. And the other day, Kelly, my wife, received an email. And the email was like this. "You have subscribed such and such, and you spend this much of money. If you want to unsubscribe, please click here." And Kelly gave it to me. She said, "Did you order something?" I said, "No, I wouldn't order that kind of things." And she says, "What do we do about it?" And we both kind of look at each other, says, "Just ignore. Just don't click something. Just don't say, okay, I want to just unsubscribe it because I just feel I want to unsubscribe it." So we didn't do something about it, which I think is good, right? So this world is full of the frauds or something that we might not want to trust. But this is not in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, God wants us to learn how to trust each other and how to trust Him with all that He leads us to do. Amen? So He wants us to learn how to trust. It is how we read today's scripture. And in the dictionary that we see the definition of trust, that the dictionary for trust is like this: a sure reliance on the character, ability, strength, or truth of someone or something. Right? Another definition of trust is one in which confidence is placed in Him and His salvation works for us. So today, I'm going to talk 3 points about this trust. First of all, trust in His word, is which Brother Simon has reading to us about. Trust in His word. Second thing, trust in His saving grace. Trust in His saving grace. And the third of all, trust in His leading. In His leading. This may be something that in your life, it just doesn't work right. And you have a hard time to continue walk in Him. So let's come back and talk about the first things that we are going to trust in His word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 through 17 says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, and so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Equipped, that's a good word. Thoroughly equipped. You know, a lot of time, I'm reading 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in the chapter of love, about love. You know, love is patient, love is kind, and we are familiar with this portion of scripture. And love always protects, always trusts. Oh, see? Trust is part of love, right? It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. You know, when I'm driving every day, almost every day, I'm driving through East and West connection. And sometimes just people, you know, I don't want to say people are, you know, that word. You know what I'm talking about. You know, in the East and West connection is a lot of car running through. A lot of car running through. But sometimes maybe somebody, personnel, is just cleaning the grass on the sideway. Or some car just happened to, you know, have some problem just parking on the sideway. So suddenly everyone will just slow down from 100 kilometers an hour or 90 kilometers an hour to 30 and to 20 and even to zero. You know, for what? For just take a look at it, what happening. So sometimes I'm just wondering, say, if each car just stopped for 2 seconds, so 2 seconds plus 30 cars, it will just, you know, have a lot of wait time. So sometimes I lose my patience. I say, oh, come on, cars, please keep moving. And sometimes I lose patience. Sometimes I just suddenly lose patience. But, you know, when I lose patience, I just hate to remind of myself, like 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I just don't like this part of scripture. When I lose my patience, I just say, okay, Lord, what the scripture again? Love is patient. Sometimes I don't sound like that. I don't sound like love is patient. Sometimes I sound like love is patient. Because sometimes the word could be an encouragement for myself. And for you, I think so, right? Sometimes the word could be an encouragement. But sometimes the word could be a rebuking. Like, all scripture is God-breathed, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So not all the time we will feel good about obeying the Lord. Sometimes obedience requires intentional attention. Right? Do you agree? Sometimes obedience requires intentional attention that reminds us of what God speaks to us through the word, that we obey. After we try to obey, at the beginning, maybe you're still not feeling it, but after we obey, we feel peace. And the peace comes in. After we have patience, after we have been obedient, and the peace comes in. And we start praising the Lord for who He is and what He has done in our lives. Just right there. So sometimes rebuking, it might not be bad. It'd be good. It's beneficial for our lives. Do you agree? It's beneficial. And the second scripture, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light unto my path. I like that light. In the darkness, sometimes we have a hard time in our lives that we just need a word. We just need a word that comfort us and help us from the Bible. You know, Gideon, last time we went to China, I went with Jeff, and we had a really good time. And I just, every time I think about Gideon, you know, I just thought about Jeff. We went together, and it's so precious. The Bible has been translated to some ethnicity group language that they will be able to pick up the Bible and learn it. And we were able to distribute about 50,000 Bible over there last year. And it's our privilege to, on behalf of the congregation, to distribute Bible over in Yunnan and Kunming, the local area in the south part of China. You know, Gideon has done amazing things. Even though the Bible just sitting in every hotel desk, it's over there, it's not a big deal, but it was changing, life-changing. It has been life-changing. You know, there's a businessman. There was a businessman testimony from Australia. And he was being a successful businessman. And in 1995, February, as usual, he went to a hotel because he has to run business everywhere in the whole world. So, and this is here his testimony. He says, I used to be a tough, hard-nosed businessman. I'm not sure what hard-nosed is, but you probably know hard-nosed. Hard-nosed. And he's a hard-nosed businessman, happy to threat on anyone to get where I was going. Right from the beginning, I was programmed for success. As a partner in a successful IT firm, I travel all over the world, especially in Australia. So I stay in many, many hotels over the years, hundreds of hotels. But something was always missing in my life. All that I had, my career, my financial success, never satisfied me. And every now and then, where there was nothing on TV in my hotel room, I would pull a Gideon Bible. And I guess when he was young, he probably went to a Sunday school somehow. And I pull a Gideon Bible, but he became a non-believer. So he pulled out a Gideon Bible out of the top drawer of the bedside table, wherever I was staying. That's how God started speaking to me. It's how he grabbed my attention. I remember one time in a Brisbane hotel, standing on the 8th floor balcony, looking down at the concrete driveway below. I was being pulled in two directions. My loss and grief and desperation was calling me over the edge. He was just ready to do something. And somehow, though, what I was reading in that Gideon Bible the night before, God was calling me back inside to pray. And I went inside, good choice. And he went inside, and he knelt down at my bed, just as I had done as a child, and said, Lord, if you are out there, now would be a really good time. That's good prayer. You know, sometimes prayer would not be a long, long, long prayer, but just little prayer, God listen. And those were my exact words. That's all I had. And that's all it took for God to wrap his loving arms around me. Within just a few months of giving my life to Christ, I found myself at Bible college studying a Bachelor of Ministry degree. And then through that, I became involved as a student volunteer in the Australian Media Ministry of Christianity Works. Today, he is the CEO and Bible teacher of what became an organization with a global media footprint. Praise the Lord. Just the Bible, the Word of God, changed his life right there. Because somehow he pulled out the Bible and read. So God's Word became a lamp for his feet and a light on his path. So Psalm 119 and 105. So trust in his Word. Trust in his Word. Read his Word, right? Read his Word and remember his Word and trust in his Word. So the chapter of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 always helps me, always encourage me, and always sometimes rebuke me what I am not supposed to be the one that God has for me to do. And next point, trust in his grace. Trust in his grace. Titus chapter 3:3-7. Let's read together. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We live in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. And I like that picture. When I looked through the picture, when I saw that picture, I saw eternal life. That's a good picture. A lot of things, some art encourages who God is in our lives. Grace. You know, grace in the dictionary definition is unmerited favor. In the New Testament, it mentioned 170 times. You know, to grow up in a church, I grew up in a church. When I was a child, so we had to go to Sunday school. And then the most excited time for us is to hear their singing. They are singing. Whenever they are singing means I'm going to come home. That was my happiest time when they are singing, when I was young, when I was in Sunday school. I didn't realize how precious Jesus is in my life. And I took the communion many, many years. And I don't exactly understand why Jesus had to go to the cross for myself. And I don't understand. I thought Jesus went to the cross only for Tracy, only for Simon, only for Russ, not for me. And I don't understand because I grew up in a Christian family. I always think I'm already a different person. I'm already a different person. And I'm a better person than those people in the world. So when I look at the people in the world, I have a lot of pride because I feel I'm a better vessel. I'm a better person. I'm a better something. You know, something inside of me, something outside of me is different from the people in the world. I just feel myself is just good. I just feel good about myself. I didn't feel good about Jesus because I didn't understand who Jesus was in my life. So I became prideful. I became that everything I do, I feel this is a credit, my credit. It's just something that God just gradually convicted my life, conviction in my life that I cannot do anything good. I just feel I cannot do anything good. I am the same Stephen with the people in the world if I don't have Jesus. Amen. If I don't have Jesus, I'm just nothing. I just don't know what I should do, what I can do. So I became gradually, when I grew up in a church, and I became gradually understand who Jesus is in my life. That's a great change in my life. I start surrender myself to him. I start giving up what I think was precious in my life to him, totally to him, because his love is unconditional. His grace is unmerited favor that I cannot earn. It's not because of what I do. It's because of what he does. So I love this portion of scripture. It says, trust in his saving grace, that having been justified, Jesus in the heaven, he look at us, he just say, sinless. At just one moment. When he was on the cross, he said, it is finished. It is a loving word. It's a loving kindness. This morning we sing a song about mercy. Mercy. It's not who I am. It's mercy. It's unmerited favor that we have been justified. Justified is a legal sense. It's a legal sense. When the judge is up on the court, he look at us. He say, be free. Be free. This is how Jesus look at us. Be free. Justified by his grace. Be free. Amen. So the last of all, that trusting his leading. Let's read through this portion of scripture. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves. He chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who discipline us, and we respect them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of Spirit and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplined us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seemed pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produced a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level path for your feet so that the land may not be disabled and rather healed. Amen. Amen. This is how Jesus loved for each one of you. That sometimes we may walk to the path that we don't know what to do. Or it's so difficult for us to comprehend, for us to understand what he is doing in our life. but because of He loves you and me. And He wants us to refresh in Him all the time. And He wants to make level path for our feet. And the lamb may not be disabled, but rather healed. And worship team, would you please, Pastor Randy, come back, please. Thank you. So this morning, I have a question for you. For some of you, you may never experience God's love in your life. You may never accept Jesus as your Savior, as your Lord in your life. And do you want to trust His love? And do you want to trust that He wants to just hug you in His open arms for you? And He wants to change your life for eternity, just as we read through the scripture. And He just loves you unconditionally. His mercy endures forever. If you are never have this chance to accept Jesus into your life, and as we bow our head and we pray, you can say, Jesus, I want to accept you into my life. And I just walk into the crosswalk. And I don't know what to do in my life. Please help me. Please come into my life and change my life and give me peace and help me to know you in a deeper way. If you never accept Jesus into your life, and if you want to accept Him, as we close our eyes and bow our head, do you want to say, Jesus, I want to accept you into my life. And I know, I don't know you yet, but help me, help my faith to trust in you. If you are the person that I'm talking about, would you raise your hands? We want to pray for you. Want to pray for you? Okay, thank you. Anybody else? Want to pray for you. Okay. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your saving grace in our lives. Your grace is sufficient. You help us in our daily walk. Help us to trust in your unfailing love. When we have something that we don't understand, but you are there, always here for me, for us. Thank you.